There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street-smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table, and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc. And it starts now.
I dare you to be singing that song through COVID-19 there, dude. That's what today's show is about. Breaking up is hard to do. We're going to be talking about why breaking up is hard to do and what is the underpinning about breaking up and why is it so hard to do? So guess what? We're going to have a great show about this. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm here with my sidekick. Yep, my host, co-host, Mark Anthony, right? Breaking up is hard to do, right or not?
Oh my gosh, is it ever? And you know, you said about COVID, I saw a report from Italy that, because Italy was the first Western country that really got slammed with COVID and they were in quarantine. And when the quarantine lifted, a record number of divorce suits were filed. So apparently, you know, being with the person you love 24/7 can be a blessing or not so much.
Well, it is. And, you know, so we're going to talk about why this is, though, too. The latest that came out, you're talking about Italy, right?
Yes.
The latest that came out, I think this came out of the UK. Yeah, it came out of BBC. Why the pandemic is causing spikes in breakups and divorces. Now, they talk about a lot of things, but we're going to talk about some other things. It's so gut-wrenching because, you know, how they have this picture of this woman's hands, and her hands are like just beautifully hovering over a piece of paper, obviously a divorce paper. She's got these beautiful red nails, and she's taking off her wedding band. Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. She's taken off the wedding band, but it's not as simple as that, is it, Mark?
No, it is not. And, you know, I'm an attorney, but I never did practice divorce law, but I was in a number of law firms. And let me tell you something. The attorneys that practiced divorce were the most unhappy people I think I've ever met, because all day long, they're in the middle of other people's failed relationships. And every time, you know, I'd say 99 times out of 100, when their clients would call in, they were extremely unhappy. And I get that. But it is breaking up is a lot more than just taking off a ring, particularly when you get married, you have financial investments, you have kids, you've got all sorts of this intertwining. And then there's the emotional strain that goes along with it. So breaking up is hard to do.
Okay. And I want to say this. This is from a British law firm, but we're also going to be doing a show on why this is from women's perspective. So on the Dr. Pat show, we're going to be taking a look at, for the first time in history, according to this expert, first time in history, women are taking the brunt. Usually when you talk about divorce, we talk about what happens to men, but this is the first time. I mean, they share some very interesting information, and we're going to talk about some of this today. But this British law firm logged 122% increase in inquiries in July, between July and October, compared to the same period. But breaking up is hard to do. What would move a person or people to do it? What moves people to do it? You know, what is it that you've said, that's it, Mark, that's the last straw. That's the straw that broke my back.
That's a very good question, because, you know, in this country, in the United States, there's a 50% divorce rate. All right, so you have a 1 out of 2 chance of your relationship failing. Now, in a country like India, where it's not unusual to have arranged marriages, and you know, that may sound medieval by our standards, but my great grandmother, she lived in Italy, and back then they had arranged marriages. The families would, you know, get together and say that your daughter and our son, et cetera, would get together. And for the most part, it seemed to work. But of course, back then, the word divorce was a very bad word. Yet in India, it seems to be a matter of practicality with the arranged marriages. And so it's approached more like a business decision. Whereas in the, you know, most of the world, you marry somebody because you love them. And, you know, love is a very complicated emotion, probably the most complicated. We go into our careers, we plan ahead, we plan for our finances, we plan how we're going to buy a car, what house we're going to build. But do we really go into love with a plan? And it just happens. And sometimes it's really good. And
you mean like what? Like a plan to get the U-Haul? That's the plan.
That's the plan.
You know, if you're a part of the gay community, what your plan is, let's get the U-Haul, right? But what we're talking about is who has the plan? Some people have a plan. I know a couple, they sat down and they planned everything. It was really interesting to go to dinner with them one time, Mark.
I bet.
They planned their grave sites. And I'm like, this is truly an anomaly. It's an anomaly. I don't think, how many people do you know that get married and say, like, we're going to go to marriage planning?
Or
we're getting a new relationship. We're going to go to couples planning.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Pat, being a psychologist, do you think that's a bad idea for people before they get married to go to marriage planning? You know, because, you know, it's easy to be all enamored on Friday night when everyone's all dressed up and you're going to a date. It's another thing when you wake up on Monday morning and you're sick or hungover or, you know, you're fighting. I don't know. I think it wouldn't hurt if people did do some type of counseling before they take
all
the
right.
plunge.
I'm going to give you the pros and cons of that. Thank you. You asked me, and then we're going to go over to the phones. I'm going to make two statements about this. One, I'm going to make a statement that a lot of people may disagree with. Here's a statement. The how is, in a lot of cases, the how might be even more important than the thing. Why? This is a psychological contract. This is in my realm of studying this 10 years. But we don't talk about it as secular. I have a publisher that wants me to write a book on my research, and it's called Broken Promises. And I got to tell you, I went to go write the book and I looked at 1,200 pages of notes and I got depressed and cried and said, that is not a book I think I'm going to write in this lifetime. I know you want it, but maybe now I will write it because COVID. But here's what it is. This is a psychological contract. It has to do with what I say to you, Mark, outright. Mark, I love you. We're going to be together forever. And then it also has to do with what I imply. If we get married, and even though I don't do the vows, or if we live together, even though we're not doing the vows, there's an implied level of commitment, unless you're sitting down and you're working with Dr. Kelly. If you're working with Dr. Kelly, she's going to talk to you about all sorts of other things than monogamy. And then you go work with her, and she said she does the whole deal with that. But if that's not your agreement, a lot of things are implied. It's implied that if we get married and we have a little deal, you're going to actually have a job. That's implied. Oh, but now you don't have a job. Oopsie. Or we say better and worse, but do we really mean better and worse, except if you get an autoimmune disease? And then I'm like, ooh, dude, I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of layers to this, and we're going to take it all. But here's what you got to remember. This isn't about an obligation. It is about a psychological contract. It's about a promise. And it has to do with your beliefs regarding what one person and another person believe they are owed or owe you. Remember that now. what I think you owe me and what I think I owe you. This is not like a just a little ditty. It's like you owe me. It really is. And psychological contracts are everywhere. We don't talk about them. They're everywhere. But it is a thing that it's about a promise I make to you, a promise you make to me. It's about what, how long that promise is for. It's about ethical considerations. It's about morality. It's about good conscience. Cheating is not good conscience. It's a violation of your psychological contract. Also, you're just cheating.
Yeah, I've seen that in so many instances where people say, well, we have an open relationship. That's the beginning of the end. Because the intimacy, which is central to that contract, is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I see that it devolves into, you turn basically into roommates. Oscar Wilde has an interesting quote. He said, never love anybody who treats you like you're ordinary. And I think that's important. And in a relationship, you have to realize that there was something about this person that touched your heartstrings, something about this person that made him or her stand out from everybody else in the world. Don't forget that. And people need to be reminded. Men need to be reminded of that. Women need to be reminded of that. People need to be validated to know, you know, you may be one person in the world, but you may be the world to one person. And people need to be reminded of that. And I think that when those things, the euphoria, the newness wears off, and that's to be expected, you still have to maintain the respect, the honor, the love, and to treat that person that you're spending or sharing this part or all of your life with like they're special, because they are.
You know, Levinson, one of my old mentor guys in psychology, 1960. In the 60s, he was big on this, right? But he really looked at it from the work perspective. My research moved it out of the work perspective. But he said, look, psychological or unwritten, see, psychology, you cannot see it. Behavioral psychology, which is what I work with, and cognitive psychology, which is you can't see the mind. But you see it in the way we express ourselves. You see it in body language. So he comes out, Dr. Levinson comes out and says, here it is, folks. This is it. I'm going to give it to you in 62. Psychological or unwritten contract is a product of mutual expectations between the parties, like the man, the woman, the man, the woman, whoever it is. That's it. And the relationship, right, that they may not themselves even be dimly aware of. You may not even be aware of it, but nonetheless, it's going to govern what your relationship is to each other. Dimly aware of, dimly. See, that's married, right? Because you don't have the plan, like you said, Mark. You don't have the plan. So you're dimly aware of it. And these contracts, these agreements are largely implicit or unspoken. They're unspoken, right? And here's what he says. Here's what he boils it down to. He says, this exchange means this. It is as if both are saying to each other, you must, for I require it. Marriage. Well, and we don't talk about it like that because, you know, what we have is we have people writing in Cosmopolitan or they're writing, but we don't talk about it this way.
No, we don't. You know, people think that Abraham Lincoln, one of his I love Lincoln for so many reasons, but he made a quote about marriage. He said, marriage is neither heaven nor hell. It's simply purgatory.
But he had a struggling marriage. I mean,
yes, he did.
You know, he had no idea. And we look back at history. So have you ever been dumped?
Who hasn't?
Mark?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and it hurts.
I had a pretty good track record. I hate to admit this. I was like a crazy child. So, you know, I had to atone for my young days. I must admit that. We're not going to do the show on me, though. but I did. I made my amends. I did a lot of things. But it's the how that matters. So what do you do when somebody you've been in a relationship with for whatever point of time? And I'm going to tell you, this is a true story. Says to you, I got to talk to you. Oh, great. I'm called to be alone. Oh, okay, well, I'll go out of the house for an hour. No, I'm called to be alone. Okay, take whatever time. No, I'm called to be alone means I'm leaving. So it's in the how. And what happens with divorce is we never get past I'm leaving.
Yeah.
We don't quite understand it. What if we were to say today, breaking up is hard to do, and the how may not matter? I wonder what our listeners and callers might have to say to that.
Well, I think we have someone on the line that may be able to add that to this conversation.
Who do we want to bring on, Jacob?
We've got Denise from Florida. Denise, you're on with the Psychic in the Dark.
Hi, Denise. Yes. Welcome to our Breaking Up is Hard to Do show.
Yes, it is. Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Hey, Denise.
You had me at hello. How can we help you?
Well, I was dumped. It wasn't intentionally at all. It was circumstance. And that was back in like 08, and I have not had a relationship since. And I mean, you know, I had a mother that had Alzheimer's, dementia, slowly, you know, rolling into Alzheimer's. So I really, after him, because his mother also had Alzheimer's, so the four of us would go out and it'd be perfect, you know.
Yes.
He just understood everything that I was going through. I understood everything he was going through. His mother passed away before mine did, years before mine did, but we were still together. But then he had a heart attack, and in my mind, I was like, oh, my God, I can't take care of him and her.
Yeah.
And but then his ex-wife came back into the picture, and I was, like, hurt, but I was so grateful.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I was grateful that she was there. She could help him. She could take it. He was a wonderful guy. But I had to just think of my mother. Well, my mother passed in 2015. And I mean, in this, he and I broke up in like 2008. And she passed in 2015. And, you know, all these years have gone by. And I have not had another relationship.
Mm.
And I don't know why.
I might be able to give you some insight, but I want to turn you over to Mark first.
Well,
because, you know, the fact that you were with and you cared for your mom for that long, you know, clearly this is not the circumstance that I was referencing sort of tongue-in-cheek to start the show. No, it is. It's absolutely perfect.
This is
absolutely perfect because you know what it points to? It points to how complex this conversation is and how sometimes we don't give it the due value and heart-opening conversation that it requires. But this particular circumstance is, first of all, thank you for sharing that powerful story. Thank you for sharing it. And thank you for explaining it so beautifully.
Denise, if I may, I want to tune into to your spirits on the other side. And it's interesting because this may be your mom's spirit coming through. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling physically cold, which is a circulation issue. But the spirit seems to be focusing this more on you. Have you been, and I know you're in Florida and it's warm pretty much all the time there, but have you been feeling cold, like in your legs, your extremities, like a cold physical sensation?
No, it's 80 degrees here.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking about circulation.
No, I haven't. I feel good.
Okay. That's interesting because she keeps giving this cold. So this could be actually a metaphor. And what she's telling me is that in taking care of her and going through that relationship and going through the breakup, it's not that you're cold. It's almost that the cold and numb, you've become numb to the emotion of love, not because this is a negative thing, but this is a self-protection thing. Does that make sense, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, the fact that you're talking about chills and, you know, I'm not exactly sure what went on with your mom. But I will tell you that there is a part of this that Mark is referencing, and I wonder who's going to come through now, where you have to look at how beautifully you showed up for your mom.
She was a great mom.
But you were there. And so I want to be clear about this thing that I call a psychological contract, or better known as promises. Sometimes we're dealt with conflicting commitments in life and priorities. Sometimes we are. And we have to make a choice. And you made the choice. And that was the perfect choice. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, let me jump in too, Dr. Pat.
Go right ahead, Mark.
Okay. Does the Aquarius time frame make sense to you in any way? And Aquarius runs roughly from January 20th to February 20th. And there could be births, deaths, anniversaries, or events connected to you, Denise, or someone close to you with an Aquarius.
I know people who were born at the, you know, like in the 31st of December, but they can be considered Aquarius?
No, that's Capricorn. Aquarius is January 20th to February 20th, because the spirit that feels like this is your mom keeps zeroing in on the Aquarius time frame.
No, I can't relate.
It could be something earth-shattering or something revelatory that happened to you within that time frame, but they keep giving me Aquarius. Aquarius keeps getting repeated over and over. I want you to think about that, because this could also mean, and this is kind of what I'm feeling, that by the next Aquarius time frame, which is, you know, roughly a year from now, that things are going to begin opening up for you. And now you're going to be ready for that. So
for that, meaning love?
That's what I'm getting at. And so now, obviously, if somebody comes along before then, you know, don't slam the door in that person's face.
Oh, no.
But this is a process that you're going toward, that you're going to be ready for, because you haven't been ready, even though you think you have been ready, that you're going to be ready then. So I would go with this. Okay. I know, like, lots of women have rings, but I see rings and rings and rings and, like, boxes of rings, and they could be like...
Oh, my gosh, yes, 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 they're all hers. I wear hers. I wear three of hers rings, but she was a jewelry collector.
Oh, even better.
There we go.
Okay.
Her jewelry. Let me,
all right, so the Aquarius time frame of 2022 is going to be good for you for love. And when a spirit gives me a message of an explanatory advisory or advisory nature, which is Aquarius 2022, going to be good for love. And then when the spirit follows that up with an objectively verifiable fact, rings and rings and boxes of rings, and your mom is a jewelry collector, you're wearing three of her rings right now, that verifiable fact, the rings, is how the spirit lets you and I know that we have properly received and interpreted the message. So fantastic. So between now and then, let's start working on ourselves.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Pat.
Do you have any of those rings in amethyst?
Yes.
That's the gemstone of Aquarius.
It's a big amethyst.
It's a big amethyst.
It's a big amethyst.
That's why I think Mark picked it up, because another way of saying Aquarius, but another way of really tying it together. I don't know what Mark it's like for you in the spirit world, but in the logical world for me, I thought giant amethyst, right? So that's why I asked you the amethyst
ring,
question.
Yeah.
And as usual, Dr. Pat knocks the amethyst out of the park.
but that's why I needed to ask you about it, because, you know, this is really the connection. I want to ask you a question about that amethyst, if I can.
Sure.
You know what that amethyst ring meant to her?
Not particularly. My mother loved jewelry, and she left me, figuratively speaking, a jewelry store. And I don't wear a lot of jewelry. I wear her bracelet and three of her rings. One is the amethyst, three of her rings, and I wear her cross. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the jewelry, I sit here and I go, well, should I sell it? Should I give it to my nieces? But then what am I going to give my nephews if I give my nieces all this jewelry? You know, I go back and forth.
I want you to hold on to the amethyst, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to tell you why. I want to tell you why about the amethyst. I want to give you something to do to help you. Let me just say this last thing to you. When you started to talk about your experience, I think it brought a little tears to your eyes, yeah?
It did.
Okay. Because you were loving two people. And the way the universe works sometimes, and it doesn't, it seems cruel sometimes, except when we can look back, is that here are two people that need one person. And so how can we arrange this so that two people get the love they need and the care they need? And sometimes the universe does intervene in that way. It doesn't make it any less sad, right?
Right.
And so are you okay with yourself on that situation?
Well, yeah, it's been years. I mean, he keeps in touch. I mean, you know, okay. He's on Facebook, you know, I know what he's doing.
Okay.
He knows what I'm doing. But it's not, I mean, he's with his wife.
Yep.
And I'm happy.
Okay.
Sad and happy at the same time.
That's what I wanted to hear, because I want you to work on the sad part. We got to work and heal on the sad part.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing that's going to crack the relationship egg open for you.
Okay.
Because that amethyst is a healing stone. And I can't do it on this show, but there is a part of you that has to come to peace with the sad part of that.
Right.
You haven't missed out on anything. There probably wasn't another option for you that the universe was willing to give so that everybody could heal in the right way. And you didn't do anything wrong.
No, I don't feel like I did anything wrong. I made the right choice to take care of my mom.
That's right. And so it's okay to be sad. It's not helpful to be sad with regret. So just check yourself in about that. Sometimes
okay.
I'm sad for some people I've lost, but man, I was dying from regret. I could have done this different. I should have done this different. And in the world, you know, I had a therapist say to me once, girl, you are not that powerful. you ain't nothing, Pat. You think you could have done to do this or do that? Nope, nothing. So please come to peace with that sadness and make sure it's not a sadness of regret. If you can heal that, you will be open to the love that you deserve. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We're going to take a short break. When we're back, we got the phone lines open. Special song we're going to hear when we... Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Aquarius and
blessed.
The Amethyst. That's a book title, isn't it? Aquarius and the Amethyst. Let's take a short break.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the new year. During this time of need, I've been called to offer my life coaching services for free. That's right, free, no strings attached. Ram Dass said it best, we're all walking each other home. I'd like to support your walk with my coaching skills. to start the process, hit me up at miles2gocoaching.com and under Book Online, select Is Coaching Right for Me? After that, we'll schedule time to meet and map out whatever you want to work on. I look forward to hearing from you. And remember, you can catch me on Transformation Talk Radio the second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. See you soon.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
1-800-930-2819. Everybody, we're taking your calls. Breaking up is hard to do. But we're also talking about, and I'm going to go back to this, Mark. We're also talking about the how it happens. Now, Mark, before we get rolling here again, and I want to share a little bit about my interview with Juice Newton and that song. But let's tell folks, one, how they can get some information about you. And sometimes breaking up, you know, we don't have the answers. We don't have the answers. And I don't know about you, but I know when I've been through tough times, I know I got loved ones up there. Yes. I could probably hear my Italian side of the family. Patricia, pick your up, get off your. And then there's the other side of the family. Oh, honey, how are you doing? Right.
Yeah, the Italian spirits tend to be a bit more boisterous, speaking from experience with my family. You know,
but how did they find out about you? Let's get folks Evidence of Eternity, right?
Sure. My website's evidenceofeternity.com. Please sign up for my newsletter so you'll be up to date on the upcoming episodes of The Psychic and the Doc. Also, you're able to schedule a private reading with me on the phone. And when I get to spend a whole hour with you, we're going to get a lot of spirits coming through. I had a reading the other night. I think I had like 9 or 10 spirits come in, and it was very healing for the client. So that's evidenceofeternity.com. Also, follow me on social media through the website. You know, and also follow Transformation Talk Radio on Instagram, on Facebook, because that way you can just click there and you can be part of the show. That's evidenceofeternity.com.
And by the way, those of you over there on Facebook, and thank you so much, everybody, for your messages. Princess Bride, thank you for that. Look. Yeah, Italian boisterous. Yeah, no kidding. We're going to do a whole show on my relatives, you know, one where we get rolling down the road.
Yeah, the Italian says, what are you talking about? You know, the other side of my family is waspy, and it's like, oh, that's unfortunate.
But it's really interesting. I mean, but this song, Break It to Me Gently, and we're going to go to the phones here in a minute. There are two songs by Juice Newton that affected me personally at the younger years in my life. And one of them was this one. And the other one was The Sweetest Thing. And The Sweetest Thing, I did a whole interview on her on that song. It is one of the most beautiful songs you've ever heard. I don't know if Jacob could find that in time. It's one of the most beautiful songs. But Mark, when you listen to the words that she's talking about, I spent a decade studying this, and I should have just given my dissertation committee this song. But they talk about break it to me gently. Let me down the easy way. Make me feel you still love me. Only it's for another day. And she's talking about the process. She's talking about the love they shared. If you must go away slowly. I mean, there's so many lines to this that talk about easing the pain. And that's really the theme today. It's breaking up is hard to do. But breaking it to me gently doesn't mean there's any less pain. It's just in the abruptness. And you go on to study this and you go to school, and there are many forms of what you can learn about this. But the one thing everybody says, the how is always so much important than the end game. Now, clearly, if you're getting fired from a job, yeah, you don't want to hear that. But getting fired in front of a room full of people, that just adds a whole bunch of layers. Right, Mark? Breaking up.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you got to think of relationships are like glass. It may be better just to leave it broken than to hurt yourself trying to put it back together. And sometimes some relationships are so broken. And I've seen people, both as a medium and in my work as an attorney, that just can't let go, I'll do this, I'll get her back. I'll do this, I'll get him back. And all they're doing is destroying themselves. Look, if somebody is, and I tend to be very cut and dry, if someone's stupid enough to let you go, then you need to be smart enough to let them go. So, you know, don't hurt yourself. Don't beat yourself up. And, you know, the thing is, Marilyn Monroe said something, and she's not really somebody I quote very much, but she said, sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together.
You had to bring up the broken glass. We're going to go to the phones. You had to bring up the broken glass and Marilyn Monroe, which my mother loved, but broken glass. Nobody talks about broken glass better than Annie Lennox. It's just nobody talks about, and you got to love Annie because she's like, I don't think she's Italian, but she could be. She's like, but I don't care for sugar, honey, if I can't have you since you've abandoned me. My whole life has crashed. Won't you pick up the pieces? Because it feels like I'm walking on broken glass. Let's go to the phones, Jacob.
All right. Ouch. Next up, we've got Carl from Massachusetts.
Hi, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome to the show. You're live.
Thank you. Yeah. I just had a feeling I was going to get on tonight. I don't know why, but I decided to call in.
Good to have you. How can we help?
I've been divorced now since I was 35. I'm now 66 years old, and I haven't gotten into any other kind of relationship since then. And the reason being is because my wife had an affair with somebody in my family, and I believe I've forgiven and gone on. In fact, she still comes to my house every once in a while. But I was just kind of wondering why, you know, I just didn't have the willpower to do it again. I mean, and a lot has happened from now until, you know, from then until I'm 66. And I figured you could give me some insight on it.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, Carl, let me say this. There's nothing more painful, I think, when we talk about relationships than the situation you just described. And when I talk to people about relationships, and I talk to people about that particular act, right? Usually it happens with a person and they both can disappear for a really, they're gone, right?
Right.
Like the cheating happens and then they're gone. But when it's in the family, it's a completely different dynamic.
Right.
Do you think you're responsible for that act that she did?
No, I believe there were a lot of mental problems with her. And, I mean, it happened with my father, which, you know, I mean, made it twice as worse. I mean, if it was something
outside. I'd have to talk to you separate from the show because you're right. And let me just say this one thing. And apparently you still see her. You're still seeing them, correct? They're part of
right.
your life,
well,
correct?
My father passed away, but I took care of him until he died. So,
Wow. So here's what I want to say about you, Carl, for a minute, if I can. You are just a bundle of love.
Thank you.
Do you know that?
Oh, I've been told that many, many times.
You are. I am thinking about you taking care of your dad. You must be a bundle of unconditional love.
Right.
But we have to work on healing you because you deserve the love that you feel for others.
Right.
You deserve that. Now, Mark, I don't know if he's...
I'm getting something. Carl, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interject.
Go ahead, Mark.
But I think I may get the spirit of your dad coming through. There's a male energy coming through, and God, my mouth is killing me. My teeth feel like they're falling out. I'm getting all this pain in my mouth, and I'm getting this draining sensation through my body, which indicates that he passed slowly. And we know from what you told us that you took care of him. My lungs feel like they're on fire. My throat feels like it's on fire. So let me recap. A lot of pain in the mouth, in the teeth. It almost feels like my gums are infected. Difficulty, burning sensation in the throat and in the lungs. Does that make any sense with any of the symptoms or sensations going on with him prior to his passing?
Well, that doesn't, but I don't know. I mean, he passed of a massive heart attack, so I don't know if that would affect, you know, the mouth and the teeth and everything else.
Hold on. Did he have false teeth or a lot of bridge work prior to passing?
No, none whatsoever. He had all his teeth, or most of them.
Interesting. Was he on a ventilator?
No, he just passed just like that. It was just massive.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because I'm picking up on a male energy connected to you. This could be another male relative. It could be an uncle. It could be a grandfather. I'm getting the teeth. I'm getting the throat. I'm getting the lungs. Burning sensation. And it feels like his passing was not a quick event. This could be a cancer, too, because burning sensation.
I mean, I can say my mother passed away from lung cancer, and that took from it, she got it in November and passed the following February. So I don't know.
Right,
you know,
but this is a male. This is a male. Spirits, yeah. I want you to think about that one, because there is a male coming through and I'm getting those symptoms, because I hate saying things like this, but I'm never wrong with the gender. They always give me that.
Excuse me, Mark. My son passed away from a heroin overdose, and I had him hooked up to a ventilator.
There we go.
Okay, so
right.
Let's talk to him. Okay, first off, I love you, Dad, is coming through loud and clear. And he always suffered with a sense of inadequacy, self-esteem, self-image. He always felt he was never good enough. And what's really wonderful, Carl, is that he said that you were never the source of any of that. He said you're the one that actually made him feel like he was worth something. And so your tenderness, your gentleness, you being there for him. He's speaking on behalf of the collective of your spirits. It would take me too long to explain exactly what I mean by that, but he's the lead singer of the chorus of your spirits. The reason that you have not been into a relationship all these years is because you build, you fortify, you educate. You're the lighthouse in the darkness for everybody else. Your life mission was to be that solid, stabilizing influence for so many people. And now you're finally at the point where a new tree will be planted, and that tree is love. So even though you haven't found a relationship up till now, you have accomplished that phase of your life mission, and now you are good to go. And it's funny because your son said, light that candle. And that's funny because that's an expression at the Space Center. When they say light that candle, that means launch the rocket. So basically, you're ready to launch your love rocket.
I'm not so sure, because now he left me with his three children. I've adopted his three children now. And because the mother was drug addicted also, and his daughter was drug addicted also. So they were in DCF, and I fought to get them back, and I got the younger one after a year, and now she's like seven years old, 10 and 11.
I know.
So I've got three children that I'm also taking care of.
Look at it this way, in Dr. Pack China, there's probably a lot of women out there that would love.
He is just he's a love machine.
The
thing I said before. Of course you're caring for those children, because you don't know any other way than to give unconditional love. That is such a rare gift, Carl. It is so beautiful. And, you know, I don't know if there is going to be a massive love relationship around the corner. But I will tell you this, given how big your heart is, you will always have love in it.
Yeah.
Right. That I believe. One last question.
Sure.
I did fall in love with a high school sweetheart, you know, years and years ago, and I could never get her out of my mind. It was almost as if, like, if I did find her and marry her, that I would drop of a heart attack because of the love that was so strong. And I did look her up after 12 years, and she was
What'd you find,
married.
Carl? What'd you find?
She was married, and I told her that, you know, she was the love of my life, and she almost fell over. The thing was, she was married, and I did write a letter, and I believe that her husband called me, but I think he was too frightened to even say anything to me. So I just kind of walked away from the whole thing. But she's implanted in my heart. So it's like I just feel like I'm connected to her, and I don't know why after all these times.
I got to tell you, what you just described, there is no why. Don't even try to figure out the why. They're just sometimes right. In life, we get connected with people. I just had this. I went through the same thing a number of years ago. And look, you put it out there. I don't know what the future is going to call. I don't know what's going to happen to her. I don't know what's going to happen to him. But here's the thing. You put it out there. Let go of it now.
Right.
Give it to the universe.
Right.
Let go of it.
Right.
You're bold.
And I believe that.
I believe
that. I do believe it. And I don't know. I feel like I was connected in another life with her for some reason. I don't know. That's exactly right.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know what? Keep in touch with us, Carl, because I have a funny feeling about this one. You don't want to break up any marriage. We don't want to. We're not saying that.
No.
But something may happen here.
Thank you.
Okay.
I've been through it,
Thank
so
you.
I wouldn't want to do it myself. Thank
no,
you.
No, I got it. You just a big ball of love. Let's keep going to the phones, Jacob, if we could. Oh, man, I feel so much love from him. I feel good.
Yeah, he's a nice man.
Wow. Jacob, who do we have next?
All right, we've got Carol next from South Carolina.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, Carol, are you there?
Hey, Carol.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? You're from my mama's state, South Carolina. How are you?
I'm from South Carolina. I'm good. I was on another time, and I waited like 45 minutes. But then, like, that's it. There was no more people coming through, you know?
Well, we got
but
you now.
We got through tonight.
Good. So, Mark, I'm going
to
let you go.
All right, Carol. Hold on, Carol. Okay. What can I help you with?
Okay, I want to tell you, the person you were bringing in, the male figure with the lung cancer on a respirator, I think that's my dad.
Okay, let me explain.
Because you were saying that you had
All right, Carol, hold on. Don't mean to interrupt. But what happens is in my book, Evidence of Eternity, and the new book I have coming out this October, I explain collective consciousness communication. Long story short,
right.
Spirits with a commonality tend to come in together. And Carl's son had those symptoms as did your father. So let's see if we can get more with your dad. Okay. Hey, is there anyone in your family that either went to the country of Greece or there's something with a connection with Greek heritage or something about Greece?
Italy.
No. Greece. This is Greece. Ever been to Greece? Connection with Greece?
I don't know anybody. No. Italy.
The southern part of Italy or the which part of Italy?
Naples. So what is that? Southern?
Yeah, that's southern. No. The weird thing, and this is going to sound very odd, but I keep like tasting like grilled octopus, and I normally associate that with the Greeks. Does grilled octopus eating octopus make sense to you in any way?
Oh yeah,
that's Italian too.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, great, great. All right, so your dad's giving that to me. My bad, I was assuming octopus. Never mind. All right, so we got your dad here. Let's see what he wants you to know. He says, you never let up. You're relentless with everything that you do. When you, like, sink your teeth into something, metaphorically speaking, you don't let go. And he said that that works and sometimes doesn't. He said, because a lot of times, Carol, you hang on to pain from the past. He said you you love very deeply, you grieve very deeply, you mourn very deeply, but he says that you tend to obsess. And he says, and that's part of what makes you wonderful, because the people that you love, you obsess on, not in a psycho-obsessive way, but that, you know, you dote on people.
That's not what you said.
I'm sorry?
You have 100% right.
Okay.
You have 100%
So what he's telling you is, when it comes to the pain of people passing and mourning, when you start really getting mired in that grief, that you need to stop, take a step back, and realize that's what you're doing. So in other words, keep clamped down emotionally to the people you love in this world, the ones that have, you know, either broken up with or have passed on. That's where you need to not hang on. Dr. Pat?
No, I agree completely. And you can feel
something?
It's
just so hard, because 10 months ago, I lost my 18-year-old daughter. Really, really hard. I don't even go out anymore. I stay in. I keep my shades closed.
Yeah.
And there's one song that every once in a while, when I go in the car, like the first time I did it, I was talking and I was hysterical crying. And I said, Carissa, please let me know you're with me. Let me know you could see me. And right after I said that, the song from The Police came on. You know, every step you take,
every breath you take,
I'll be watching you. And every time I go in the car, I hear someone to play me that song, and that song comes on. Am I going crazy, or is that really her letting me know she's with me? Because it always comes on.
Okay, that is, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, we talk about this a lot, that's a frequency beacon.
And when
that song comes on, that's an emission, a transmission and an emission from the spirit of your daughter, and then you immediately resonate with that song. Gosh, we're running out of time. My book, Evidence of Eternity, goes very deeply into frequency beacons and the loss of a child. So I do recommend that, you know, through my website, evidenceofeternity.com.
I'll get that.
But this is a very positive thing. This is an emission of love from the other side, from your daughter to you. We got to say hi to Texas. Apparently all over Facebook, somebody's saying hello from Texas. So, hello, Texas. We love you, and we love you, Carol. And please call back in. Call back in, because I'd love to be able to do a connection.
Carol, let me just say this to you. Believe me, you are going through a lot. I don't underestimate any of that. You literally sound like you're grounded and you have it together for someone that has gone through that much. And what I want to say to you is, I know it's hard right now. I know it's hard. But you are getting the messages. You are getting every breath you take.
Yes, I am.
They are with you. Please don't forget that.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Bless
wow,
you.
What a great show. Wow, thank you. Everybody out there, look, we'll be back next week. We've got a lot of really cool things planned for you. And I want to just end with this note on breaking up is hard to do. I just want to end with this. Out of thousands of people that I interviewed in a research study, I want to tell you this. And yeah, it's research, but it was both qualitative, a lot of interview notes. I'll tell you the one thing that comes to the top on any kind of breaking up contract. You've got to hold your head up high. You've got to be in respect, and you've got to demand respect. Respect, out of thousands of people, 98% of the people said, out of all of this, I just wanted to be treated with respect.
Yeah.
And I know that is like a squishy term, but boy, we know when we're dissed, don't we, Mark?
I think Aretha Franklin sang it best. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Hey, thank you all. Mark, thank you for a great show. Thank you all for tuning in. And we are going to see you next time. We'll see everybody. Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems? Yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.